To start off today's show,
okay.
I have another entry in our ad series.
Really?
I'm thinking that this campaign cycle for 2024, we're not even in 2024 yet, but I'm thinking that for the 2024 election cycle, it's going to be a doozy with campaign ads.
Yeah.
We had the pudding one last week, out of pocket, right?
So
unacceptable,
out of pocket.
Heretical, one might say. And I have another one today. It's different in structure. It's definitely not as insane as the pudding one.
Okay.
But I felt it was necessary for us to watch it on the show and get a candid reaction from Gage here.
Okay.
I don't think you've seen this one.
I probably haven't. I've been pretty unplugged this week.
That's good. That's good. I'm gonna cue this up. We're gonna listen to it. We'll flash it on the screen for the YouTube again. Again, it's not as egregious as pudding. So you might not even need the visual.
Visceral reaction.
But I had a reaction, so I wanna play this for everybody.
Okay, I'm excited.
So let me get this queued up for the show, for the pod.
Let's go.
Listen to it together.
America presents Real Women of Politics.
Oh no.
Real Women of Politics.
Is that?
Today we salute all the real woman leaders of this great country.
Real women don't have to fake it.
Real women doing real things.
Real women work too hard for this.
Some big companies can't tell the difference between real and fake anymore.
Real people know the difference.
That's why we're introducing the Real Women of Politics Koozie.
Real Women of Politics.
Now, you can salute the Real Women of Politics at every backyard barbecue and tailgate. And if it covers up the label of a big woke company, well, that works too.
I love it so much, dude. I love it so much. Cover up those Bud Light labels.
If anyone's wondering, immediately, that's like a real political ad that was paid for by Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Like, it wasn't a meme. Like, because I get it, right? This is something that we would make fun of them.
No, it looks
it's
like
a bit.
Something
it like
that
a bit.
Like The Daily Show produced.
Or, 100%.
Honestly, not even The Daily Show. The production value's not there, frankly. Mm-hmm. It looks like something that you would see on like somebody's YouTube channel.
Right, exactly. It's I thought it was just insane, so I had to play it on the show. And I love how they're doing the Bud Light thing still.
I just like...
They're still trying.
The vocals in the background are what got me.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part, honestly. And then the drop that they're selling a koozie. I thought it was
going to
be...
the thing.
I thought it was going to be talking about, like, I don't know, some conservative women, like, that are running. No.
Yeah, it had a couple of like Republican women in there. Sarah Huckabee Sanders,
Amy Coney Barrett.
Yeah.
We'll talk about her later.
Yeah. There's a couple of prominent women in politics.
Some of the real women in politics.
Yeah,
none of the fake ones.
It managed to be corny. It managed to be transphobic. It managed to be it was a tough watch.
It was a tough watch.
It was a whole minute.
It managed to exist to sell you something that you really just don't need or really want.
Yeah, so unlike the pudding ad, I thought the pudding ad was highly effective, right?
100%.
If you haven't listened to the pudding ad, if you missed last episode, go and watch it right at the beginning. Very great. I loved it. This one, on the other hand, I don't think it's very effective.
No.
I think it's a pretty bad political ad. I don't think it really sells a message, especially because nobody cares about the Bud Light thing really anymore.
Uh-huh.
No regular American cares about that. And also, there was a Fox News poll recently where only 1% of Americans ranked wokeness as their top issue.
That's crazy.
Nobody cares.
Because if you go on our fucking Twitter feed, it would seem like it's the only issue.
Right, exactly.
Oh my God.
Yeah, even like, I think in that same poll, there were people saying that the attack on transgender youth is like a major problem right now. And that's a Fox News poll. So like regular people are like, okay, this is getting weird. And obviously the whole Real Women in Politics thing is meant to be like a bit of a dog whistle.
100%. And it's also just like, it I don't know, the ad, it's like the pudding ad left me disgusted.
Of course. Yeah.
Visceral reaction. I was like, why are they zooming in on his mouth like that?
Mm-hmm.
This one, it's just like, okay, you're just making women corny.
Yeah, and it's like the disgust was directed towards Ron DeSantis, which was the intention with the ad.
Which is sick.
Exactly.
Enemy of my enemy.
But with this one, it's just like, what are we doing here? I don't know if this was playing on TV screens or not.
Real women in politics.
It wasn't concise. It wasn't to the point. Felt like I was in church with the singing.
Yeah.
Like,
it,
what were we
it
doing?
It felt like one of those commercials that plays on Fox News, like, in between the late Tucker Carlson segments, you know, like this would be inserted very well with an ad for the Senate Leadership Fund and an ad for Mike Pillow and like the whatever supplements that they send.
Yeah,
like
that's
this
a
would
good
fit
point.
In there, and then you'd have a number to call to get your Real Women in Politics koozie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the grift here is that they're selling these, right? Like they're selling the koozies as a sort of I don't know, fundraising effort.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really funny to see these come out at the same time that Joe Biden is releasing his Dark Brandon merch.
Because like, that's like funny.
I don't typically buy the merch of politicians, right? Because it's a campaign donation. That's what it goes towards is their campaign. So I'm not usually buying merch, but that's, it's kind of gas
that he acknowledges like, the joke. It's just funny he's leaning into it.
Yeah.
The merch, it doesn't even look that great. Like, I'll be the first to say, but like,
it never
he's
does,
leaning into it. Like, it's, it's, that's what makes it funny. It's ironic.
Yeah.
I can consume this ironically and I get, it still serves a purpose. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I could consume the Real Women of Politics koozie ironically, but
yeah,
I don't think that's something I'd want to buy into and support.
No, not at all. I don't want my money going to, towards Sarah Huckabee Sanders and whatever pack she has supporting her. Absolutely not. But that's a, you know, I'm thinking might have to be a regular segment if we keep getting these crazy ads each week.
It's almost like as the Overton window shifts further right and our politics moves further right, the ads get further funny.
Exactly.
You know, it's just more and more out of pocket.
So if we keep getting crazy ads, if you have any ad submissions that pop up throughout the next several weeks, next several months, this whole campaign cycle,
honestly,
send them in. Maybe we'll review them on the show.
Because oh, so sick.
It's our ad series. It's
all make a little tier list.
That's all I'm going to say. Welcome back to Head in the Office, everybody. Today, we're a drama podcast.
Absolutely.
We're talking about drama.
100%. We're talking about the celebrity tea, the celebrity gossip.
Yeah. No, we got celebrity tea, gossip, all the hard-hitting news that you really wanted to know about. We're talking about divorce.
Divorce.
Great topic to talk about.
We're talking about people losing their jobs and why it's funny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm laughing at the unemployed today.
100%. That's right. And then we're talking about the waning public confidence in the Supreme Court.
Exactly. It's a real just amalgamation of news stories.
It flows. Really,
they gel together. You'll see. You'll get it by the end. You'll get the full picture. Before we get into the show, though, as always, I want to remind you all to support us on Patreon. We're getting very close to our goal
now. So close. Right
there. If you could just hop in there, become a patron. And you know what? It's not like we're just expecting nothing. You know, we'll give you free access, or not free access, I suppose.
Early
access to all of our episodes and our content, and maybe you'll get some extra perks too down the line. We got lots cooking. It's summertime now.
You should help us cook up some ideas for this live stream once we inevitably hit our goal.
Inevitably. It is inevitable.
It is.
If you want to support the show in another way, you can always go and leave a 5-star review on Apple. We got 3 of them to read today. If you leave a review, we'll read it on the show, give you a little shout out, and we'll tell you how much we're in love with you. And I mean like in love with you, like it's not parasocial. No, not anymore.
It's not parasocial. It's socially.
Intimate.
Socially.
Our first review here is from Call My Lawyer, Girly from Michigan. They say, I'm currently a junior at U of M working my way towards law school. After finding this podcast, I've been hooked. As someone who is deeply tuned into current events, it's great to listen to people my age who also share my views discuss these events as it's hard to have a true discussion with the people around me. Keep being you. Well, thank you very much for that.
I'm so curious, like, what do you mean by, like, people around you? Because, like, normally it's, like, friends, but, like, you're at U of M. Like, I wonder, are they just, like, really, really liberal over there?
I'm wondering. I have something to say about U of M.
Yeah, word.
I saw this review.
Drop it.
I saw this review was coming up, and I started thinking of U of M. There's a strike going on at U of M right now. It's the graduate workers. I think the graduate student instructors are striking. It's I don't know how many hundreds of people, but they've been going pretty crazy. They've been occupying buildings. They've been picketing like day in and day
pretty
out.
Sick.
They're getting shout outs at their graduation ceremonies that are happening. And I just want to say, I think that's really cool. And we like to cover strikes on this show. And this one hasn't really gotten national headlines like I think that it should. Maybe because it's just a college town and maybe the news doesn't want to pay attention to colleges that much. Although U of M's the biggest one in Michigan, so whatever. But I was considering going to U of M for graduate school. Can't afford it, but was considering it. And I had stopped by when the strike had first kicked off. And I think what they're doing is great in solidarity. Keep it up. So if you're if you're a geo worker on strike right now, know that you have Head in the Office supporting you, backing you.
Full endorsement.
If you're a striker, contact us. Maybe we'll have you on the show.
Oh,
that'd be pretty cool.
That would be sick, actually. That would be pretty sick.
But thank you for the review and good luck at U of M.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our next review here from Mads Lee. Unparalleled podcast. I'm selective with podcasts, especially political ones, as a queer woman. However, this podcast has a grasp on my time and attention. The proficiency and acumen in which you present political theory, practice, and policy are at their zenith.
Oof.
Delighted to tune in every week for smiles, laughs, and what's going on today, smiley face.
My gosh.
I know.
Bro. I am
Busting
a political theorist.
Big words for us.
I am this a political theorist.
A political scientist. Fully accredited. Accredited.
With a degree from an accredited institution in
graduated,
my state.
Graduated, you know, not in college anymore.
That's what I'm saying. Our next review and final review is from Gluckluck 7000. Informative and entertaining, our friend Gluckluck says, I found these guys on TikTok sometime around the release of episode 5.
No
and
way.
I've been listening ever since. That's almost 2 years ago. I'm That's a UPS crazy. Driver, and these sultry voices grace my ear holes while I'm delivering on my route. As a leftist in northern Tennessee, it is extremely difficult to find like-minded people around me, much less anyone educated enough to engage in healthy debate. The two handsome men have articulated things I've been thinking for years in ways I never thought possible, and it has helped me form many talking points at work and around the dinner table with my family on the holidays. The holiday episodes are my favorite, in parentheses. Oh, I've been sick. A patron for 9 months or so, and I can't recommend signing up enough, although sadly, I have to drop down to a Wednesday. We need not the demotion.
Oh my god.
Not
goodness.
The demotion. For a while, due to financial reasons, there goes the joy of hearing my name at the end of every episode. As a UPS worker, if you guys can fit it in somewhere, I'd love to hear your opinions about the potential strikes we're facing in August and the repercussions of it. Feel free to reach out if you want more info. Subscribe to the Patreon, follow them on TikTok, and show these awesome boys your support. Ted Cruz's boy toy.
Probably would like more info on that.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
You know where to hit us up. Also, don't feel bad about dropping out of Wednesday Weenie. You know, the road to success is not a straight line.
Exactly. It's not linear.
The road to success is it's wild. It's moving around. Sometimes there are ebbs. And then there are massive flows.
Exactly.
You know?
That's what I'm thinking, too. And, you know, this idea that progression is linear is a bourgeois concept. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's meant to trap you in the capitalist work ethic, and don't fall victim to it. And the best way that you cannot fall victim to it is by becoming a patron on patreon.com/
becoming a Sunday superstar and shedding your Wednesday weenie status.
That's a better ad than the real politics one. Let's get into the news, though. Once again, some bad news for us.
Straight up, fucking wrong. Never got proved wrong so fast. Actually, the last podcast aged like milk.
Was pissed. We left that milk sitting out in the heat. That
the
one's
summer
on
sun.
Me. If you don't know what we're talking about, last episode we covered the Fox News and Dominion lawsuit. They settled, and we said, you know, maybe some people will get fired at Fox, but no major personalities are going
to
be in
nothing
trouble.
Nothing is going to happen to Tucker Carlson.
And then less than 24 hours later, Tucker Carlson gets fired from Fox News or is dropped
fully
from Fox
dropped,
News.
Like in a surprise drop too. He aired his last show on that Friday or the Friday before.
The Friday.
Nobody knew it was his last show. Monday, nope, nothing.
Yeah, when Monday came around, when we needed him the most, he was gone.
I know.
And we were immediately proven wrong. And also at the same time, almost like an hour later, Don Lemon was also fired from CNN, but he's much less important.
Which is like, whatever.
Don Lemon's not a friend of the show. Tucker Carlson is a friend of the show. We're currently fielding for him, trying to get him to come on as a permanent third host.
Yeah, I've never watched a Don Lemon segment just because I like think it would be funny.
Yeah.
But Tucker Carlson all the time, actually.
One added benefit here, though, is that we have a lot more information than we would have had if we had covered it right away, so we can kind of get a more holistic view of the story. But if you want to see us produce more content per week,
you know what to do.
Yeah, and cover these breaking news stories.
Summer's coming up.
I think we've beaten the dead horse enough. Anyway, here's the story. So last Monday, it was announced that Tucker Carlson would be dropped from Fox News, again, without any real indication that this was going to happen. Tucker signed off, as we said, on his last segment on Friday pretty normally, and then Monday just didn't come back. This obviously sent everybody into a frenzy of speculation, and Tucker has since broken his silence with a pretty vague video that we'll watch a little bit later on.
What did he say? I never
watched it. He posted
on
Twitter. It's about 2 minutes. We'll get to it in a little bit, but it's very vague, filled with seemingly some conspiracy theories, a little bit of white supremacy dog whistles.
A little bit of stochastic terrorism. Yeah. Maybe some veiled threats, even.
Yeah. Classic Tucker, as we know him. There's tons of theories going around right now about why he was dropped, like specifically what happened. And I want to go through a few of my favorites.
Okay.
A few of that I think are either just like the ones I like in my own like headcanon, or just those that I feel are most likely. One that I don't think happened, but I like this one, is that Trump called and got Tucker fired for his comments
about
Trump.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
You know what? That'd probably get me to support Trump.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, I don't think this happened. It's highly unlikely that this happened, but I'm thinking, right, Tucker comes out, well, he didn't even come out with this. It's just it was leaked through the Dominion lawsuit that he didn't like Trump. He was really tired of Trump. He was glad that Trump had lost.
Yeah.
At the same time saying Trump won the election, mind you.
While also buttering him up in interviews.
Exactly. So, and he actually had an interview, like, right after that stuff dropped, that stuff leaked. So, I really like the idea that Trump called, like, Rupert Murdoch and was like, hey, you need to get Tucker off or I'm going to take all your viewers away or something like that. I think that'd be really fun.
That'd be a good one. That'd be probably my favorite. That's my top choice, S tier.
That would fulfill my fanfic, I think.
It would.
Perhaps more likely is that there were some pending lawsuits or potential lawsuits that were going to come out of Tucker being abusive or harmful towards his staff, which I think is probably what happened.
Because there's like after he was fired, it like immediately came out that his staff, office was just a hostile work environment for women.
Right.
They just make derogatory comments just out in the open.
Kind of a
like
theme
that.
This episode.
Kind of a theme with this episode. Kind of a theme with Fox News' cash cows.
yeah.
Tucker Carlson directly following Bill O'Reilly, who got fired for Me Too.
That's a good point.
You know?
Yeah. And look at where Bill O'Reilly is now. No one actually talks about him anymore.
That'd be sick if Tucker Carlson followed suit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Another theory is that Rupert Murdoch just got tired of Tucker going off the rails. There's a little bit of evidence for this in that Rupert Murdoch was seemingly getting a little bit uncomfortable with Tucker spreading lies and being, well, I guess that's kind of like Fox News' whole point, spreading lies more than he needed to. and Tucker Carlson getting like a little bit more evangelical as times went on, a little bit more religious and zealot. Mm-hmm. So maybe Rupert Murdoch was getting a little uncomfy with that, and he's like senile.
But the only thing about that I don't understand, and the only thing that I feel like makes a lot of these theories kind of weird, is that nothing happened to Hannity. Nothing happened
That's
to
a
Laura
good point.
Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if it was about people spreading lies and conspiracies, honestly, I think that Hannity and Laura, the Ingram angle, are way more unhinged than Tucker's show.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
On average, usually. Like, Tucker has his moments, of course. We cover them all the time. But I think Hannity and Laura Ingram just straight up just get on there and don't tell a bit lick of truth.
Like, they don't even do the populism, yeah.
Laura Ingram was the one who had that guy on who said, workers are like dogs, and sometimes you need a dog to starve to teach him a lesson.
Yeah.
Tucker has people on like that all the time. But also, I think it was Hannity that had on Sidney Powell.
Yep.
Right?
And Maria Bartiromo.
Yeah.
And she's not getting fired either. And the other thing is that Tucker's been lying, right? Uh-huh. Like, why would it be now? Why would now be the point at which Tucker gets fired if it is for the lies for, say, the election or for COVID or for whatever else Tucker was lying about? I don't know what specifically would have done it now, which is why I think it's more likely that there were more lawsuits coming down the pipeline because of, you know, Tucker being terrible to his staff. I think that's
because
probably what happened.
That's also the thing that, well, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that didn't separate him and Hannity, right? Because, like, you know, birds of a feather.
Right, exactly.
Birds of a feather. But also, I think what separates those two is that I don't think anything leaked about Hannity admitting that he was maliciously spreading lies.
Okay.
Like, because with Tucker, we have the whole thing where it's like, oh, my God, I know this election fraud is bullshit. I'm still going to say it anyway. Nothing leaked like that for Hannity.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's another reason why they could get rid of Tucker or why they wanted to get rid of Tucker like that. But it's just weird considering how he made so much fucking money for them.
Yeah. I mean, the last theory is that maybe Fox News is turning a new leaf towards journalistic integrity. That could be it. Maybe they're trying to be born anew. You know what I'm saying?
The born again Christians.
Yeah, exactly. They just got to start shedding the evil with the evilist to start.
Yeah.
So maybe that's it. Maybe
it's
that's
like,
it.
Who's going to replace Tucker now?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know, but I do. Guys, I have an announcement to make. I'm really excited to announce that me and Jeremy here at In the Office are going to be filling in the 8 o'clock time slot, Fox News Prime Time.
Welcome
every
to Hino
Monday,
tonight.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. You can tune in for our first episode tomorrow if you're a Sunday superstar, and go back 3 days if you're a Wednesday weenie.
You don't know how quick I would take it. Tucker was making $20 million a year.
Brother.
That's nuts. $20 million a year.
The way I'd
forever.
Switch up. That. Oh, my God.
Think
bro.
About how long he was doing that for, too. Like, he's loaded forever. He was already loaded beforehand, and he's loaded forever now. Like, the way that I would abandon all my positions.
Like,
it'd be
and
crazy.
It's like he doesn't even need to do anything. You know, like he was doing it for the love of the game.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even need to do it in the first place. He married, like, the Swanson TV dinner fortune.
Right.
It's like he was doing it for the love of the game. He just loved lying.
Yeah, and that's like a cushy job, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't got to put work in for that.
No, absolutely. He doesn't even write his shit.
All right,
his
you have an army of
writers.
Write
it, and he reads off the teleprompter.
Exactly.
That's all he does. He shows up to work at, like, I don't know, 7 p.m. every day, leaves at 9 p.m. I guess he's in the office for a little bit longer, but, like, come on.
Exactly.
Come on,
right.
Give me a break.
That's what I'm saying.
Time.
So Tucker, as I said, did break his silence, but after only a couple of days.
Yeah.
So I think we should hear from the man himself.
Let's
and
roll the clip.
It's about 2 minutes long, and we'll listen to it together. Let me cue it up for us.
Okay.
And we'll see what Tucker has to say for himself. You know, hear it right from the horse's mouth.
Yes.
Good evening. It's Tucker Carlson. One of the first things you realize when you step outside the noise for a few days
is
how many
already.
Genuinely nice people there are in this country. Kind and decent people. People who really care about what's true, and a bunch of hilarious people also.
Really funny.
A lot of
like
those.
Us.
It's got to be the majority of the population, even now. So that's heartening. The other thing you notice when you take a little time off is how unbelievably stupid most of the debates you see on television are. They're completely irrelevant. They mean nothing. In 5 years, we won't even remember that we had them.
I'm going to pause it real quick because it's just like everything you did, right?
Yeah, no, it's literally just like everything I did was really just so irrelevant. Like it just, mm-hmm. the way he switched up so quick, it's so good. It's honestly an art.
Well, I don't even think he's switching up here. I think he, he's very vague throughout this entire clip.
Yeah.
But he's saying, oh, all the debates we're having are completely irrelevant. It's like, oh, like, you know, the drag queens being in schools being irrelevant or M&Ms and their sexuality being irrelevant. Like
carjackings being the number one form of crime right. and moral degradation within the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Like those debates that you spawned, you helped usher,
that you actually directly brought into the political limelight. Yeah. Like it's your fault there. Anyway, let's keep going.
Someone who's participated. And yet at the same time, and this is the amazing thing, the undeniably big topics, the ones that will define our future, get virtually no discussion at all. War, civil liberties, emerging science, demographic change. Corporate power, natural resources.
He just did a demographic change. What could that mean?
That's crazy how he just threw literally everything in there. Like emerging science. You actually shit on emerging science all the time.
Yeah.
You shit on the vaccines. You shit on green energy. You shit on anything good. Like you made $20 million a year shitting on anything good. And then right mm-hmm. after, nobody's talking about this though. And then demographic change. Well, something you talked about every night for millions of people?
Yeah, millions and millions of people. And it's like, he's like, oh, we don't talk about war. Dog, there's like at least one new segment a week about the war in Ukraine or some war that's going on. Like, what do you mean we don't talk? We talk about all of these things.
We're talking about a possible war with China every fucking day.
Exactly.
Every fucking day there's a new article. Either like, we should definitely just fucking invade and do whatever we want. Like, come on.
And you gotta love how he just slides demographics in there.
Yeah.
He just slides the dog whistle in there. You know that Tucker hasn't fundamentally changed. He's trying to make it seem as though because he's cut ties with Fox mm-hmm. News that he's now, you know, taking on a new perspective. But in reality, he's still the same guy. Yeah. He still has the same beliefs.
He can talk about the real issues now. Emerging science. Emerging race science.
He's a race scientist. He's a race realist now. Yeah. You know, I've actually been looking at a lot of studies from the 1970s. Yeah. And, you know, guys, we might have overlooked some things.
I think we've been discrediting these. I think the methodology is sound. If you look at this IQ map here.
Oh, my God. You know how we had to, like, disprove anti-Semitism because of the Kanye stuff? Yeah. We're going to have to learn how to disprove race realism now. Like, we're going to have to learn those arguments again.
You're going to have to learn the arguments against anti-phrenology. Only see if you look at the skull shapes.
Let's keep going.
When was the last time you heard a legitimate debate about any of those issues? It's been a long time. Debates like that are not permitted in American media. Both political parties and their donors have reached consensus on what benefits them, and they actively collude to shut down any conversation about it.
He's a part of the collusion. He's a part of the collusion.
No, absolutely.
He is the collusion.
And he's talking as if he exists outside of mm-hmm. both political parties when he's like the third top guy in the Conservative Party. Like, what is he doing? Is he going to pull an Andrew Yang? Is he going to start his own forward party?
Like,
the backwards party?
He's like the guy in news media, right?
Yeah.
Like, he is at this moment, or I guess was when he was on Fox News, one of the largest, or if not the largest, news personality in the world. Mm-hmm. He's one of the biggest media personalities of all time. And he's acting like he's not a part of the system that he's trying to criticize here. It's all very vague.
There are intentionally. After he got fired, there were whole articles talking about how like conservatives would panic if they couldn't get a good word about them in on Tucker's show.
Yeah.
Like if Tucker shat on them, like it was over.
Mm-hmm.
Like they weren't going to do well.
Yeah.
He was a kingmaker.
Yeah, no, exactly. He has immense power, but let's keep going.
Suddenly, the United States looks very much like a one-party state. That's a depressing realization, but it's not permanent. Our current orthodoxies won't last. They're brain dead. Nobody actually believes them. Hardly anyone's life is improved by them. This moment is too inherently ridiculous to continue, and so it won't. The people in charge know this. That's why they're hysterical and aggressive. They're afraid. They've given up persuasion. They're resorting to force. But it won't work. When honest people say what's true, calmly and without embarrassment, they become powerful. At the same time, the liars who've been trying to silence them shrink, and they become weaker. That's the iron law of the universe. True things prevail. Where can you still find Americans saying true things? There aren't many places left, but there are some, and that's enough.
Where?
As long as you can hear the words, there is hope. See you soon.
I love how he says it's the iron law of the universe for truth to prevail when his job was just lying.
Yeah.
Lying for an hour.
He sued for lying. Defamation was one of the hardest things to prove in court.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they proved it against him. Well, technically a settlement's not an admission of guilt, but come on.
This whole clip, his whole, and this is like the only thing he said since he's been fired, at least publicly in like a video format like that. It's just this like vague populism that points to some conspiracy to silence him and regular Americans, of which he lumps himself in with the regular Americans. But he obviously is the elite that he complains about. And if he had an actual critique of the system, which he claims to do, right, he's talking about these orthodox beliefs that don't work anymore, then he would state it clearly. You know, he would say like corporate power has corrupted democracy and that's undoing all of our institutions and government, and we need to do X, Y, and Z to save it. But no, he's just hiding behind a thin veil of populism to protect his actual views, which are still white supremacy, white replacement theory.
And it's also like he just states these things as grand concepts that no one is talking about, that, again, everyone is talking about. But when he mentions corporate power, I think it's funny because the only time that he actually spent calling out and talking about corporate power was when he could pin the opioid crisis on Democrats and when he could pin the East Palestine, Ohio train derailment on Democrats.
Yep.
He never actually wants to engage with what caused these things to happen. He never wants to engage with what, I don't know, meaningful regulation in the pharmaceutical industry can look like, actually like attacking power there. He never wants to limit the rights of the CEOs of the railroad companies. He never talks about he never takes these issues from a pro-worker pro-union stance.
Yeah.
They're always, how can I use this to make a point against the Democrats and sometimes be homophobic?
Yeah, exactly. And even if we're talking about specifically the media industry, he obviously doesn't say anything about the fact that Fox News is just a propaganda machine for the Republican Party. That's what they do. That is the social purpose that they serve, is just lying to run cover for the Republican Party and mainstream media.
And it's also, I feel like the framing here, he's trying to frame it as if he left Fox News because they're a part of the machine, and not that he was fired from Fox News, and if he wasn't, he would continue doing these same things day in and day out.
He would have, right.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, what? The only other thing he could mean by corporate power is Bud Light.
Yeah.
Bud Light, like, I don't know, big company be woke.
Which is funny because, again, as we've mentioned before, the only time that the only reason that companies like Bud Light or, you know, name any other company acts in woke ways is just to to provide an amount of camouflage for the actual terrible business practices that they're engaging in that conservatives don't have any problem with.
Yeah, no, literally, like, despite Bud Light being woke when they worked with Dylan Mulvaney, they still donated to conservatives more.
Oh, yeah.
Still donated a shit ton of money to conservatives and conservative projects. Like, it doesn't matter. It's all fake.
And they have no problem with that. And yeah, again, like, even if Tucker goes on and, you know, continues as a news host somewhere else or has his own show or whatever it is, he's still going to be saying the same things.
And that's why, Tucker should come here, because we talk about war. We talk about corporate power. We talk about emerging science. We talk about demographic shift when he talks about it.
Yeah.
In a purely reactionary sense.
I do love how he's like, we never talk about demographic change, when it did dominate the headlines for a long time.
Yeah, because of him.
Yeah.
Because explicitly calling him out.
So two questions remain.
Yeah.
First, what's the impact of this, of Tucker leaving, and where does Tucker go from here? So for the first question, I think the impact is pretty big.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think conservatives generally in the media, on Twitter, basically everywhere when this news dropped, were showcasing the fact that this meant a lot, because they were freaking out, right? They recognized that Tucker Carlson, again, is the biggest media personality in the world right now, or at least was when he was on Fox News. And he's one of the biggest in history, and he has a lot of staying power for a lot of conservatives. And I think they rightly recognize that his departure from Fox News, even if it was unwilling, is a pretty big deal, because they lost him. He's someone who would say literally anything to push the agenda forward. So,
but it's like, I saw a bunch of people talking about going to Newsmax. Like, a bunch of people are like, oh, I'm switching to Newsmax now. I'm switching to OAN now. Mm-hmm. They fucking suck, dude.
Yeah.
They're not even, like, funny sometimes. Like, Fox News could be funny sometimes. You know what I mean?
Right.
They aren't in it for the love of the game.
Yeah, and that's the other side, is like, will Fox News actually lose market share because of this? Did somebody convince Rupert Murdoch that, yeah, we can cut ties with Tucker Carlson and still maintain a bottom line for advertisers? Yeah. I've seen an argument, actually, that I forgot to bring up previously, that Tucker Carlson was actually bad for advertisers. That only Mike Pillow was willing to go on and have ads for Tucker Carlson's show,
and
because Tucker
Carlson's
fucking insane.
Because that's what you see when you watch Tucker Carlson's show, is every single ad break, there's a new Mike Pillow Halo thing. Hi, guys, I'm Mike Lindell, or it's supplements.
So it could have been the case that, sure, we're going to lose viewers because some people only come for Tucker, but at the same time, we're going to get more ad revenue because whoever we fill in for that slot won't be as insane as Tucker Carlson.
Are we going to meaningfully see a drop in viewership outside of the 8 p.m. time slot?
Yeah.
Are people going to stop watching Hannity, stop watching Laura Ingraham, stop watching, I don't know, the fucking Five or whatever they have going on during the day?
Right.
Outnumbered?
And that's the corporate power Tucker's mad at. When it personally afflicts him, but when it's, you know, crushing a mother that's working 2 9-to-5 jobs,
she can be fired. She can be evicted.
Well, she's lazy, in fact.
It's actually righteous to evict her because she's not paying her landlord.
Yeah. So we'll see where Tucker goes. I have two theories for this one. The first is that he joins like a Daily Wire type organization. Maybe not the DW specifically.
Not the DW.
Maybe not the DW specifically. Maybe, though. I'm sure they're putting their feelers out for him. But some type of similar organization to that where he gets a platform, continues his same rhetoric. It won't change all that much. Maybe he goes on a media tour, does speeches and things like that. Or the second option here, similar to what we brought up with Bill O'Reilly, is that Fox existed before him. Tucker existed before Fox when he was somebody on CNN that nobody cared about while he wore a bow tie. And perhaps he just fades into irrelevance now because, again, Fox News existed before him. It'll exist after him. He is not everything that they were and will be. So maybe people just move on from Tucker. That's possible, too.
I hope, because I think Tucker Carlson would be unhinged in independent media.
Maybe, yeah.
If he could drop F-bombs just just like on his show, I think that'd be crazy. I think that'd be so jarring.
See, I'm just wondering what things would he say that like Fox News was preventing him from saying.
I don't know.
Like, how much further would he really go? Like, he was already doing Nazi shit. Like, right, white replacement theory is just a Nazi theory.
Does he go on, like, what is it, Rumble? Not Rumble. That's where Steven Crowder
is.
Stevens. Did he start live streaming on Kick with Nick Fuentes?
Yeah, where you can't ban people from chat.
You can't ban people for being Nazis.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. I guess anyone's speculation is fair game here. And also, of course, Don Lemon was dropped, which could be for many reasons. He's pretty unimportant, but I think he was just generally like a bad person.
Yeah, he kind of sucked. Like, none of the people on CNN are vaguely interesting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I saw one source say, some source from like the New York Times say that Don Lemon, part of the reason Don Lemon was dropped was because he had an interview with Vivek Ramaswamy, friend of the show.
Covered him last episode.
Yeah, friend of the show. And Don Lemon was pressing him too hard, and that's why CNN dropped him. I think that's mystic thinking.
I think that's a little bit of fanfic.
Absolutely.
It's like, yeah, I mean, I guess the co-host was uncomfortable and people were in his ear.
You saw it too.
Stop. Yeah, I watched the clip. But it's like, it was so regular. And if that's the real reason why they fired him, CNN should just go under.
Oh, yeah.
Just get out of here.
Please. I mean, CNN sucks. Been awful.
They don't even have the entertainment value. Like, I can't consume it, ironically.
Yeah.
It's just myopic and boring.
The only thing they got going for them right now is their articles aren't paywalled, like the New York Times. That's the only reason I'd be looking at them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Their articles aren't paywalled, and their website is, like, more reasonable when you consider, like, the landscape of online news. Because, again, I was reading articles last night to prepare for the show, and every time I scroll, the websites aren't optimized for, like, your mobile phone, right? Every time I scroll down a little bit, 30 ads pop up. And then I scroll down a little bit more and 30 ads pop up. And then a new ad generates and I lose my spot. And it makes the entire process so fucking frustrating.
And your phone's jumping around. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It makes me want to scream.
Yeah, no, CNN's terrible. No one cares about Don Lemon. Who cares where he goes?
Dan Bongino's gone too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, where was he?
Fox News. He would contribute to Fox News.
Oh, he's a contributor.
I think I had seen that his contract was up and they just like couldn't reach an agreement. And there was like no malice there. But like, that's cool, I guess. Hopefully he fades into irrelevancy.
Dan Bongino's nuts. Yeah. He's actually insane.
God, dude. I did think that Tucker Carlson, like the Daily Wire, might extend their feelers for him just because they were willing to give Steven Crowder $50 million over 4 years. And if you're willing to give Steven Crowder that money, why wouldn't you reach for the number one guy?
Yeah.
But I also just, like, I don't think that Tucker could mesh with, like, what Daily Wire has going on.
That's kind of how I felt, too.
Like, I don't think he has the personality.
Yeah, the stuff that Ben Shapiro, Matt Walsh, and Michael Knowles, like, all those characters do is a lot more podcasty.
Yeah.
And I don't know that, I mean, I guess maybe Tucker could cross mediums here and go into podcasting. But I don't see him as doing that kind of thing. He could prove us wrong, though, because I guess I was fucking wrong on my last Tucker Carlson prediction.
I guess I should shut the fuck up, actually. Shut my dirty fucking mouth.
Maybe he'll start his own podcast company and then just purchase us, buy us out.
Yeah.
But, you know, go for it.
It's just like, it feels like Ben Shapiro and Matt Walsh and all them, they're very, like, internet-y.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just me not being able to see Tucker in that setting because I consume him on Fox News, or I consume clips from Fox News on YouTube, but like,
it's like when you can't imagine your teacher out in the wild, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
Because they're not a real person.
Yeah, you see him out and you're like,
Yeah. What? You're like, what do you have a family?
Yeah. Well,
you go grocery shopping.
You have children
too?
And people. Maybe right. I should stop terrorizing you in class.
I think it's time to talk about divorce.
I think it is too.
I think it's time to move on.
Everyone knows, like, men, number one victims of divorce court.
Oh yeah, 100%.
The world is tough on men.
White cis men specifically.
White cis men.
Straight
white
men.
Cis Christian men specifically.
Oh yeah, good
can't
Christian
forget
men.
The Christian part.
Good
can't
Christian
forget the
men.
Really hard line.
Gun owning Christian men.
Yes.
Yeah, the ones with holsters, two holsters on their sides.
The ones that
to make
them
sure feel tough.
You know that they're gun owners when they sit in their podcast studio to do their cushy internet job.
You know who we're talking about. It's Steven Crowder.
The man needs no introduction.
Steven Crowder needs no introduction. But for those that, you know, we kind of pride ourselves on being this podcast that reaches out to people who may not typically tune into politics, right?
Yeah.
Who may just want to get a taste for what's going on with the news without feeling too down and out about it. So I wouldn't be surprised if you're not a poster like we are, if you're not chronically online,
that's
if
true.
You don't know who Steven Crowder
is. Because it's like, realistically, I feel like Steven Crowder isn't popping now like he was in 2016, 2017,
mm-hmm.
when he was like, peak, change my mind.
Change my mind. Change her mind. She
change,
left me.
Exactly.
Please help.
That's when he was like everywhere, right? That's when I feel like he was like a figure in pop culture. And now I feel like he's kind of faded more into a little bit of like irrelevancy when it comes to the mainstream, when it comes to mainstream politics.
Well, and like the, you know, the change my mind meme where it'd be like blank, change my mind. Like that is, it was a pretty popular meme. I would see people
still
using
it. Still a good meme format.
I would see people using it for non-political purposes. Mm-hmm. I would see like, I there was one point where some department in my university posted that meme and I was like, ayo, this is Steven Crowder. You probably don't want to put this on your on your Instagram. But they didn't know because it was just like, it's a classic
meme format.
You know what I mean? So that's Steven Crowder. He's a change my mind guy. He's a political commentator. He's known for being very racist, very homophobic.
Resident awful
very
person.
Very misogynistic.
He loves to cross dress. Mm-hmm. He's one of those conservatives that will cross dress and pretend to be a trans woman to be obnoxious in public and say, look, this is what all trans women are
exactly.
like.
Exactly. And it's just him.
Yeah. And then he'll also, he'll do impressions of black people.
Crazy.
You remember that clip? You remember that clip?
He'll just straight up cosplay as the KKK
and
get away with it.
Oh my God. Yeah. We covered that in our cold open like last year.
Yeah. A long time
ago. This dude did a skit where him and his buddies just like dressed up as members of the KKK.
Yeah.
A skit.
Yeah, and it was
it was the skit, guys.
But like the skit wasn't making fun of the KKK. It was kind of just
it was
fine
making
with it.
Fun of naming conventions within the KKK, not actually like
critiquing
making
it.
Fun of the absurdity of racism.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we're not talking about the KKK, but we are talking about our boy Steven, maybe
exactly.
a member.
You know, adjacent to. Really.
Yeah, exactly. And just as all actions against my enemies are justified, all joy derived from their suffering is justified because my enemies are ontologically evil.
Yes.
And we're going to be deriving a lot of joy out of Steven Crowder's divorce because. He was already divorced in my eyes.
That's true.
Like he fulfilled the social role of a divorcee. You know what I mean? Like that was how I socialized him.
Gets on the internet, bees racist, obnoxious gun owner.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty divorced. Like he's phenotypically divorced.
I don't know where this story started off, but I do know that Steven Crowder released a video where he explained that his wife of 10 years is getting a divorce from him. She's leaving him. He made it very clear that this was not his decision. He did not want to do this, and he was pretty mad about it. And he turns out he's pretty mad generally about women being able to get divorces in general.
Which is crazy.
I have a quote from Steven. In his video, he said that, quote, my wife decided, my then wife, because she's ex-wife now, she left him.
Yes,
my
in the
then
process
wife,
of being ex-wife. Yeah.
My then wife decided she didn't want to be married anymore, and in the state of Texas, that is completely permitted. Later on, he says, in Texas, divorce is permitted when one party wants it, period. Yes, precisely.
Sick. You can break up with someone.
Yeah. Like he's the whole time and this kind of like, I don't know, talking point repeats itself throughout the video.
Mm-hmm.
And he's constantly just saying like, oh yeah, my wife left me because that's allowed in Texas. And it's like, yeah, he's basically saying, I want the state to be able to force my wife to stay with me, which maybe this sounds redundant, is the most divorced thing I've ever heard in my life.
Absolutely. It's like, oh my God, she said no, but God said yes.
Yeah.
Please stay.
What about her vows? She promised.
Till death do us part.
Yeah. And then later on, some leaked footage dropped because of course it did.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of expected this to happen. That showed Steven and his ex-wife arguing while she was 8 months pregnant. This was from about two years ago, I think, 2021. He basically told her that, we're not going to play the clip because the audio is really bad and you kind of need to be able to see the subtitles to know what's going on. So we'll just summarize. He basically tells her he doesn't love her, that she isn't, quote, wifely or worthy of being a wife, that he can't do anything that he wants to do because she's pregnant, I guess.
Yeah.
And he tells her to, like, like
8 months.
You need to go walk the dog. All kinds of wild shit. Basically, acting like a child, right?
Yeah. Like he's like not like yelling at her, but he's doing that like very stern, almost yelling like man voice.
Yeah.
Like you're talking to a child.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like you're talking to a child, but it would still be problematic if this is how you're talking to your children. And he says straight up like, "There's no respect. There's no discipline. Mm-hmm. You need to be worthy of being a wife. You need to do more wifely things." And she just wanted to, like, go get groceries.
And then, didn't at one point he was like, "I'll fuck you up"?
Yeah.
After
the video cuts off, there's, like, a thing. It was, like, was it a New York Times journalist that, like, leaked the video?
I don't remember.
Anyway.
I think it was a Substack. Independent journalism.
Shout out independent journalism.
I think.
Where the real work gets done.
Funny enough, actually, the New York Post, which is another, like, right-wing news organization, their headline was just, like, Steven Crowder getting divorced. I thought it was hilarious. Anyway.
But anyway, yeah, at the end of the video, it cuts off. He goes inside, and there's a thing that says that, and Steven Crowder admitted to it, apparently, where he screamed, like, "I will fuck you up," and then she fled the house. Emphasis on fled the house, because what the fuck else are you going to do?
Because that's completely permitted in Texas. She can just leave.
What the fuck? And then, apparently, they only have one car, or they only had one car at the time, and that's what, like, started their argument, is she wanted to go to the grocery store. And then he started bitching about how, "You never get the right chips for my grill. You never get the right stuff for my grill. You can't even do this. You need to be more wifely. This is you not being a good wife." And then he said, she's like, "I love you. I want to make it work." And he's like, "I don't love you."
Yeah.
So he's literally abusive. Like, this is abuse on screen.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And some people are still like, out of context. I have arguments like this with my wife all the time. Pause. If you argue like that with your significant other, let's not.
You should get a divorce.
You should rethink a couple things. When everyone on the internet is like, "Oh, this is abusive behavior," and you look at it and say, "This is how."
Well, I mean, and it was all the blue checks, right? Like, yeah, that's who it was. It was the blue checks floating to the top. And even like, I don't know much about no fault divorce, and I wish I didn't even know about it at all, because I feel like I shouldn't have to. It should just be a given.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like it should just be like, "Oh yeah, someone can get a divorce if they want to."
But even if that wasn't how it worked, I would think this is a pretty good reason for a divorce regardless. Yeah. Not that you should need one, but just like generally speaking, if your husband is being verbally abusive or is just Steven Crowder, I think it grounds for divorce.
No, absolutely. And it's like, I don't know. It's are we surprised that the guy that gets on every fucking day on Rumble and YouTube sometimes, I guess, I don't know, when he's not banned, and preaches about how women are property and women need to be good wives and subservient to men, treats his wife like dog shit?
Right, yeah.
Like, that's kind of where this lies for me. I mean, it fucking sucks. I obviously don't want Hillary Crowder to have been abused. Like, that's awful. Mm-hmm. That's really awful. And she released a statement about it, talking about how he's engaged in patterns of both emotional and, like, psychological abuse.
Yeah.
Like, over the years that they've been together. He missed their twin son, children's birth.
Oh, nice.
To get his surgery. You remember his chest surgery?
Yeah.
So I was watching a Sam Cedar video that was covering this, like, on my way here to prepare for the pod, and they were watching a Candace Owens video where she goes into the statement and actually finds out, or she reveals, I don't know if it's necessarily true, that the heart surgery Steven Crowder had was an elective surgery, because Hillary said in her statement that he got elective surgery to miss the birth of their children.
Nice.
Which is crazy, because like, even my dad was there when I was born. like that's nuts. And his surgery was cosmetic.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much of that is true, but one, if true, then funny.
Yeah.
Because Steven Crowder got gender affirming care to fix his chest, because he didn't like it, because he's a little insecure.
Yeah.
And it's just a crazy situation, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, like, that is the real critique here about, like, relationships in general. Yeah. Especially with conservatives, is like, with Steven Crowder, we kind of assumed, well, I guess with any political commentator, any conservative commentator especially, we kind of assume it's a little bit of a grift, right? Mm-hmm. But the same insecure man-child we see on camera is the one that is interacting with his wife in intimate situations and situations behind closed doors that I guess are now caught on camera. The way he speaks about, you know, Democrats or liberals on camera is the way he talks to his wife.
Yeah.
That's fucking insane. Like, there's no separation between the two. And it just goes to show you that this perfect relationship that conservatives are always talking about, where the man is dominant and control, he's loud and aggressive, the one that's supposed to be perfect is fucking miserable.
Yeah.
Because they're both miserable, or they were both miserable. Mm-hmm. It's both not the perfect relationship.
For different reasons, too.
Right.
Yeah. Like, Stephen is miserable because he's insecure of himself, because you can't be secure in who you are when you're a conservative and when you buy into these, like, really rigid ideas of masculinity and traditional family norms and values. You just can't, because it's this impossible standard that you'll never live up to.
Yeah.
And it's awful for the wives in this situation, because they are being abused at the behest of conservative ideology.
Yeah.
Because they are trying to be this perfect wife that is, again, unattainable.
Yeah.
They can't do it. And if they won't, there are power structures that exist within the relationship and that are reinforced by conservatism that continue to shit on them.
And they want to make it illegal for them to leave that kind of relationship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they want to make it so there's literally no escapes. And it all stems from, at least in my mind, this sort of biological essentialism, where women are, by their nature, biologically subservient to men, reliant on men. And there is no existence outside of just being a wife that women can exist in. And they view this progress that's happened under feminism, that have allowed women to have their own money, allowed women to leave relationships they don't want. They view this as like corrupting to the nature of what it is to be a woman. And I think it's a ridiculous ideology that is one purely of control.
And it's also crazy, even just speaking to the Steven Crowder situation, right? Like, when I was watching the Sam Cedar video and the Candace Owens video by extension, and listening to the statement by his, I guess, now ex-wife or soon-to-be ex-wife, Hillary, she was talking about how, like, when stuff was going down, he immediately, like, got another house and moved out while she took care of the kids and shit like that. Like, he ran away, you know what I mean? And he also, she said that he's the one who initiated the divorce, who spoke with divorce lawyers first.
I think the documents affirm that, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to his platform, where he is a person who gets millions and millions of views, to talk about how actually she's the one who's doing this and I'm such a victim.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, and it's like, it's pretty clear he's milking this, because he's got like the aspect ratio is all set up for TikTok.
Yep.
He's got the captions that flash on screen that go by as he's talking. Like, he's milking this for views, and he knows it, right?
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. I mean, this is who he is.
And it's crazy, because even if there was more abuse that leaked on camera, because there already was. There already was. Mm-hmm. Even if more abuse leaked on camera, he has still built his audience up to think. Conservatism has built that audience up to think like, oh, well, that's just like normal. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, look at how men are being victims of divorce court again. There's no accountability that is actually going to happen within the majority of his audience, because they don't recognize abuse as anything other than, oh, you're beating the shit out of your wife.
Yeah, and like, look, wanting to get married, to be in like a monogamous relationship, like, there's obviously nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
It's been a thing for most of human history. Marriage has existed in some fashion, but to adhere to this very strict conservative-centric idea of what marriage should be and what masculinity and femininity should be is very toxic, and we can see it on full display here. Again, the life that Steven Crowder and other conservatives always advocate for is one that is completely horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible for both people involved. And they'll blame this on feminism, right?
Like,
I guarantee you they already have, or they will in some way blame this on feminism somehow for making Hillary Crowder unhappy. But she's not a feminist, right?
No, she's a traditional Christian.
Right. She's like, an evangelical. Yeah.
And that's another point that I guess I wanted to make about this, is that when you are in these very conservative circles and you grow up and you actively stay in circles that continue to push these rigid ideas about like what a marriage should look like, what this should look like, when you're in a church that actively discourages divorce, like you're married once and that's it, and that's who you're married to forever, how are you supposed to get the courage to speak out?
Right.
Like, she talked about this in her statement. She talked about, like, I felt like I couldn't tell any of my family or friends about this. And it's like, I understand why, because you're in a social circle that would say that you need to, I get, not that you need to shut up, but that maybe you're overreacting a little bit, or maybe you're not being wifely enough. Like, maybe he's right.
Right.
Like, you're in that social circle, and that's fundamentally wrong. You know?
And I don't think I'll ever abandon the position that ideas like that are basically just setting children up to be groomed.
Yeah.
Because if you can build a culture around this idea that once you get married, you're locked in it forever, you can never leave, the state won't allow you to leave, then you're just setting kids up to be groomed into marriages that they don't know how to escape from, that they can never escape from.
Yeah.
And they're locked in relationships with abusive people like Steven Crowder.
And then you're told your whole life that you can never leave.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You don't think that you can leave. Like, it's not... even a possibility in your mind.
Yeah. Exactly.
So what can you do?
And even if we do want to address the very good faith argument that you shouldn't be able to get divorced for any reason, obviously, like I've seen this argument made by the blue checks on Twitter under Steven Crowder's videos where it's like, oh, well, you know, the vows were a contractual agreement where they agreed to be together until death.
This is a contractual agreement.
Yeah, you agreed to it.
No, you leave. Don't understand. She's bound by contract.
that's basically the argument. And to that, I would say you're fucking insane and you shouldn't interact with other people for their sake.
Like everyone knows you can never get out of a contract. Yeah, no matter what. You're bound by but you signed your name.
It's like it's just a cultural thing. It's what people say when they're getting married, obviously. Like, come on now.
That's crazy. I also think it's just really funny, just like tangentially, I think it's really funny how the meaning of blue check mark has like changed.
Yeah.
It used to be, blue check mark, like the out of touch liberals on Twitter. Now mm-hmm. It's the conservatives who pay for Twitter.
Yeah, no,
so good.
The blue checks are pretty terrible. You should probably block all of them. And then you did you see Elon? This is not even related, but you saw Elon
he
is
won't
like
let you block him anymore, right?
Well, I wasn't even going to say that, but that's crazy.
Maybe that's
but
not true.
Elon's creating a new system where you get a special badge if you're a government official, so we know you're the right one, which is what the blue check was supposed to be. He's creating special badges now for people
He's gonna make verification too.
Yeah. Now, to end us off on the Steven Crowder section, the broader critique that I think is a universal truth at this point is that you should probably never marry or even date a conservative.
True.
And you know what? Maybe just as a good rule of thumb, stay away from all men or, you know, stay away from all male or female political commentators in general. I understand the implications for myself and Gage.
I do.
I get it.
I do.
For posterity, for all future generations, for your sake, I think it's best if you stay
away. I'm insufferable.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I'm insufferable.
I'm willing to accept the consequences if it's for the betterment of everybody. If you're one of those people that say, oh, I can fix him, unless you're a therapist, no, you can't. Yeah, you can't fix him.
I will martyr myself so that it means that no one would ever have to date Steven Crowder.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I will absolutely martyr myself. I'm good.
If I can protect you all from that.
I'm happy. I find fulfillment in that.
Uh-huh.
Because you don't need to find fulfillment in another person.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, it just feeds into this narrative.
Let's move on to our penultimate news story today. And that's Biden announcing his reelection bid.
Damn.
So this is a pretty short news story. It's one that we kind of saw coming already, but in some actual political news that we can talk about on our politics news podcast. Joe Biden announced he's running again with Kamala Harris as his running mate for 2024. Last Tuesday, he dropped a campaign video with the tagline of "Finish the Job." He touched on his accomplishments and how Republicans have stifled progress, etc. It was fine as far as announcements videos go.
Honestly,
nothing crazy.
The only thing he can do in his campaign that I don't think he's going to do, but the thing that he should do and what he needs to do in order to like secure his spot as the president again is shit on conservatives the whole time. Mm-hmm. I wholeheartedly believe I've literally been saying it since episode one.
Uh-huh.
95 weeks in a row.
Exactly.
Joe Biden just needs to get on there and start dogging on conservatives. Mm-hmm. He needs to make it known. He needs to name drop. Drop fucking names, drop addresses.
Yeah, fuck.
Just start dropping names.
If they're
going to
do stochastic terrorism.
Exactly. No, I'm kidding. Drop names of literally everyone who is voting against these things, mm-hmm. why they're doing it. Oh my God. Start dropping their donors. Like, come on, dude. Let's play the game a little bit.
You know, 100%. I absolutely agree. And I think, I don't know if you all watched the correspondence dinner. Biden did a little address that was like 10, 15 minutes long. And I think he was doing about that. And like, I think humor is always a good way to call them out. And to kind of belittle them in a way that they can't really respond with. Because you can always be like, oh, it's just a joke.
Because then you look like a snowflake.
All right.
That's how they should be handling mm-hmm. their political strategy. Make them look like they're little whiny sissies who can't.
And I'm not
jokes.
Trying to toot my own horn, you know. I know that's kind of exactly what we do. That's kind of our whole thing is making fun of them while laughing and also saying, like, this is really bad.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to just be like, we're the right
ones. I'm not trying
here,
to be like, hey, yo, I'm graduating in a week. I'm going to be looking for a job. Maybe you can hire me.
But this announcement comes at a time when a majority of Democratic voters say they want somebody else other than Biden to run. And Biden's approval rating is sitting at 43%, which isn't the lowest it's been throughout his presidency. Mm-hmm. Fox News recently did a poll of presidential candidates where they found that Biden is at 63%, Robert Kennedy Jr. Who? Is at 19%, and Marianne Williamson's at 9%. If you don't know RFK Jr., I don't blame you. He's from the Kennedy dynasty.
Okay.
He claims to be a Democrat, but he's basically a Republican. Nice. He's an anti-vax conspiracy theorist, the heart of a lot of QAnon conspiracy theories. Nobody good that you'd want elected. And I'm guessing he got 19% purely because of the Kennedy name.
And it's a Fox News poll.
Exactly.
You right. know what I mean? So that's probably got a lot to do with it. And this is also right off the heels of them announcing that they're not doing debates.
Yeah.
For Democratic primaries.
Oh, they did say that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Which I think is fucked.
Oh, Marianne Williamson's going to be pissed.
I know. Oh, I'm absolutely. Because her whole deal in the 2020 election mm-hmm. was to just really make sure other candidates will publicly pull to the left.
Yeah.
Because she's going at them in the debates. Mm-hmm. So I'm pissed for her, and I'm just pissed for myself in general that there are going to be no primary debates, because I think that's a little fucked.
I hate that parties can just do that, you know?
I also hate it too. It feels a bit anti-democratic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, it's kind of the standard that you'll at least have how shitty the debates are. Like, we criticize them all the time, but it's like, they're nice to have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. They're a chance for the public to see, like, who's going up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And they're a chance to, like, do rhetoric and do political strategy. And when you kind of take that out of the equation, and also just makes your guy look bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, can Joe Biden not defend himself up there? I wouldn't be surprised if he can't.
Yeah.
But
I mean, Joe Biden will end up on a debate stage at some point, mm-hmm. Provided he doesn't die before then. he'll end up on a debate stage probably across from Donald Trump, if we're being honest. It's probably going to be Donald. It probably won't be Ron DeSantis because he's a loser. Shout out last episode.
Yes.
But if it is Ron DeSantis, right, Joe Biden will be on a debate stage with somebody. So he'll be debating at some point. But yeah, it does suck because, I mean, we haven't talked about Marianne Williamson a lot on this show just yet, or how we feel about her candidacy in general. And obviously, I'm all for someone pulling Biden further to the left.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason that the Democrats are where they are right now in terms of their stance or their standing on the political spectrum is because Bernie Sanders in 2016
yep.
pulled Hillary further to the left than she wanted to be, and the party just kept moving to the left, which is a good thing.
Fire.
A very good thing. So I'm all for that. I obviously don't think she would win, even if there were debates.
Absolutely not.
But yeah, I'm in support of her trying to pull Biden further to the left. And I think that's her idea. That's what she wants to do. So yeah.
And it's also just like, again, speaking to the debate things, like, it's just wild because they also, didn't they confirm they moved the primary order? It's not Iowa first anymore.
South Carolina, yeah.
South Carolina first. Mm-hmm. So it's like they're doing everything they can, like, on the party level to just make sure that Joe Biden gets the 100%. Nomination again.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's... Come on. Like, I fucking hate the DNC.
Well, yeah. And, like, parties aren't public organizations, right?
No, not
like, they're
at
not
all.
The government.
That's why.
Private groups.
I don't even think their primaries aren't even subject to, like... Like, they can do fucky things, can't they?
Mm-hmm.
For the primaries.
Well, and the Democratic convention, I don't know if Republicans still do this, but I know the Democrats still have superdelegates,
yep.
which are just people hand chosen by the party to come in and vote in ways that are not dictated by the vote of the population that
yeah.
sent delegates ahead. So superdelegates can just decide victories, right? Because mm-hmm. you have to meet a certain amount of delegates in the party convention to get the nomination. In 2016, this is when this was a big controversy.
Because they did Hillary, some shit to Bernie.
Hillary Clinton didn't hit the threshold. She had more than Bernie, but didn't hit the threshold. And then, like, all 700 of the superdelegates went for Hillary Clinton. So it was just, I mean, it was a completely undemocratic process.
Yeah.
And that's what people mean when they say Bernie got screwed over, which I think he did in 2016.
Because
the primary system, for the Democrats at least, I don't know much about the Republican one, isn't very good. But, yeah, I mean, Biden's probably going to win anyway, regardless.
He's going to win, especially because, I mean, they're stacking the deck. So if he doesn't, if somehow he gets primaried.
That'd be crazy. Yeah, yeah. I guess the biggest obstacle for Joe Biden right now, other than getting through the primary, which I'm sure he'll be fine with, is the two old allegations.
I was going to say.
Can he beat him? You think he can beat him?
I don't know. I honestly don't think so. I don't think so.
You think the allegations will hold him back enough so that he loses, though? Because Trump is like,
I don't think the allegations are going to hold him back. I don't. Because what? Joe Biden is like. Is Trump 80 yet?
No. Joe Biden's 75? 80, 81, something like that.
So Trump's like 75, 76. Yeah. They're both too old, frankly.
I think, if Biden wins again, he'll again be the oldest president ever elected. And if Trump wins, I don't remember how old Joe Biden was when he won. But they're both up there. Both very old.
Okay, because it's like at this point, I don't want to keep breaking that record.
Yeah, I know.
I really don't want to keep breaking that record.
Right, yeah. Well, maybe it's time to support Ron DeSantis. I think Joe Biden has been. I think the only real way to handle the old allegations is to make fun of himself, which is a thing that he did at the Correspondence Dinner.
Yeah, I thought he did great at the Correspondence Dinner. I thought he like seemed coherent too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, they probably injected him with Adderall or Adrenochrome or whatever.
They did whatever they needed to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm in support of that too. Do what you need to do. But you know, he's cracking jokes like my friend James Madison when we both wrote the First Amendment of the Constitution. He's making jokes about how old he is, you know, how about he's ancient and stuff like that. So I think he did a decent job. And I think that's the only real way to deal with it.
Yeah.
Especially because Trump is just as old. So just, he can't really do much to seem young and sprightly because he looks old.
Yeah.
There's not really much they can do in that department. But just keep making fun of yourself. I think that's the best way to deal with it.
It just sucks that we're here again with two people who qualify for Medicare.
Yeah.
Just going nuts for the presidential presidential nomination.
Once you hit Medicare age, you should not be able to run.
Once you hit retirement age, you should retire.
Mm-hmm.
Retire.
Mandatory retirements.
Mandatory retirements from politics, like, let's be real.
France is trying to make it harder to retire. We should make it easier by forcing you to retire. Exactly. No more work.
No more work. Especially if you're in politics, no more work.
Yeah, no, you're an active detriment. You are harming people by working.
Work. Just
live out the remainder of your life.
Yeah.
Let us take it from here.
When it becomes reasonable that you'll die of natural causes within your term, mm-hmm. that you'll just go to sleep one night and not wake up.
When it's more likely that you'll die than live, come on now. What are we doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we doing? You don't got your life ahead of you. You're not dealing with the consequences of the world you're building.
All behind you.
That's what I'm saying.
It really is all behind you. The world you built was not good either. It's like, why do we keep giving you a shot? Mm. Joe Biden specifically, you know?
I guess he's kind of got the redemption arc going. I mean, he's beaten some of the racism charges, misogyny charges. He's getting there.
We stand growth and change. You know what I'm saying?
Never too late for someone to change.
Exactly.
Time to move on to SCOTUS.
A little bit of SCOTUS drama to round out the episode, right? You know, we love to cover it. You know, once again, I will remind you that democracy might end in a couple months.
Yeah, be prepared.
When Moore v. Harper comes out and a bunch of other decisions come out. But until then, I want to talk about how the Supreme Court is totally good,
mm-hmm.
righteous, mm-hmm. cool, and never does anything wrong.
Yeah.
So basically, in a rare move, all 9 Supreme Court justices, from the more progressive Sotomayor to Clarence Thomas,
mm-hmm.
I'll leave it at that, just came together and issued a joint statement pushing back against calls for independent oversight, mandatory compliance with enforceable ethics rules, and greater transparency in cases of recusal.
Why would we allow them to do this? Of course, the body that would be overseen doesn't want the oversight. Naturally.
The one time they all come together.
Yeah.
Every single one of them, every single justice came together in this joint statement to say, whoa, guys.
Yeah.
Whoa, guys. Pump the brakes a little bit.
Clarence Thomas walked over to Sotomayor and he was like, look, I know that I'm in the, you know, the spotlight right now.
I'm on level with you.
Me and Harlan Crowe, we're the ones getting all the attention right now, but I know you'd be doing the same shit.
Yeah.
I know it.
Yeah.
You better help me out.
Oh my God. It's so good. And keep in mind, right? Like the level of oversight that like Senate Democrats want to push through with legislation right now.
Minimal.
And like left wing watchdog groups want to push through is not an unheard of level of oversight.
Mm-hmm.
It would actually be the same levels of oversight that federal judges are held to.
Uh-huh.
So like
why not?
Common sense reform here.
Uh-huh.
It's so common sense. It's ridiculous. And so a lot of the statement that they issued is spent talking about how justices are still subject to strict financial compliance rules and they cannot receive over 12% of their base salary and extra compensation.
Okay.
And so like you can look at that and say, okay, yeah, I guess like whatever, maybe Clarence Thomas and his gifts and stuff are properly like accounted for
uh-huh.
within their tax forms. But then I would like to bring up the issue of their spouses.
Mm-hmm.
And another issue I'd like to bring up is another story that broke this week. And it's all about the Chief Justice himself. Well,
oh, no.
His wife. Whistleblower documents have recently revealed that Jane Roberts has received $10.3 million in commission from elite law firms over an 8-year period.
That's a big chunk of change.
And she was paid by these law firms to place elite lawyers with them, some of which have gone on to hear cases at the Supreme Court.
Oh, that doesn't sound like an ethics violation at all.
It sounds like a pretty big conflict of interest to me.
I love how they can just do anything they want.
When your husband is the top judge in the country.
The guy.
The chief judge. When your husband's title is chief justice, I don't think you should be able to place people with firms that are going to have cases heard by him.
Especially when they're about to oversee democracy ending decisions.
Yeah. Like that's, oh my God. It's insane. Like I feel like it's not a stretch here. Mm-hmm. It's really not a stretch to say that, you know, guys, maybe that's wrong.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that's just a little bit wrong.
There's no good argument for not subjecting them to even more intense ethical requirements and oversight requirements. There's no reason.
Absolutely.
Like, why would you ever run defense for them? Like, it's ridiculous. There's no reason they should be able to get away with
the top people in the country. Mm-hmm. Like, the people love to talk about, like, separate but equal within, like, the branches, right? The judicial, so much smaller. So mm-hmm. much smaller. So much more. So much more relative power.
Well, and it's not even like separate but equal is the typical mantra that we're taught, but it's supposed to balance each other out. Checks and balances is the name of the game. It's exactly what it's supposed to be. But how are they supposed to check or balance if there's no oversight requirements?
And when they're like, guys, we should not be checked.
Yeah.
We really shouldn't be. No, guys, you don't get it. I bet you
Joe Manchin saw that joint statement. He was like, oh, well, that's a unanimous decision. We can't do it, guys.
No, guys, you don't get it. It was bipartisan.
they came together to oppose this. So I think we should not pass it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So continuing with the statement, the justices further argued this week that proposals to force members of the court to recuse themselves under specified circumstances, publicly elaborate on the recusal process, and subject their decisions to review could create more harm than good.
All right.
Quote, if the full court or any subset of the court were to review the recusal decisions of individual justices, it would create an undesirable situation in which the court could affect the outcome of a case by selecting who among its members may participate. Let me raise you the other situation mm-hmm. where a justice does not recuse himself and that affects the outcome of a case. Come on, dog.
And suddenly corporations are people. That's what happens. Suddenly corporations have all the same rights as I.
All of a sudden, we're the same.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we're the same. I feel like it takes a third grader could read that uh-huh. and say, okay, but what about when it does happen in uh-huh. the other way and worse?
Mm-hmm.
Like you're saying, oh, and no, sometimes what if a corporation had a case at the Supreme Court and they worded the case so that one justice may have to be recused? Mm-hmm. One, how do you even fucking do that?
Mm-hmm.
How do you even do that without that being like a valid reason for them to have to be off the case anyway? Because again, highest court in the land, you can't appeal higher than this.
I mean, and it seems to me if any justice is implicated by any means in a case, they probably shouldn't rule on it, right?
Yeah.
Like that seems like liberal court system 101.
100%.
Like, this seems like the basic workings of a court is that if you are implicated or involved in a case, you don't get to decide on it.
Yeah.
Like, these aren't even Renaissance. Like, this is like Adam Smith. Like, what are we doing?
And when the alternative is, oh, but we'll trust them to recuse themselves on cases that they have a vetted personal interest in. Guys, I think the option here is really clear.
So you should not be able to tell Clarence Thomas that just because his wife is receiving infusions of cash, that he shouldn't be able to rule on Citizens United. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense to me.
No. Please.
Ridiculous.
Please, let's be real.
That's besides the point that, like, obviously a lot of our political institutions operate off of norms rather than strict rules that are written into the law,
yeah.
right? Like, a lot of them just have norms that they follow. And typically those norms are fine insofar as like they provide for the operation of whatever political mm-hmm. group that we're talking about. But the problem is that like if the justices would have just gone along with the norm, the accepted norm of recusing yourself when you're implicated, this wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, but
because
they're not.
They couldn't behave themselves, we have to try to create these rules where we can force a recusal.
They're not, and their spouses are absolutely banking, and they're like, but it's not me, though. But it's not me.
Yeah.
You guys don't get it. It's not me. I'm not the one doing it.
And then you got Clarence Thomas saying, oh, me and Jenny don't talk about anything. We don't talk about our jobs.
We actually hate each other, actually.
It doesn't matter that she's like an enormous political operative that is working alongside me to create the worst dystopia you can imagine.
Dude, it's ridiculous.
That's
it's so good.
Yeah, no, that's just like clownish. I feel like we're in a George Orwell book right now.
That's what I'm saying.
It's some clown behavior. I, not as a real country.
They're
unserious.
Just like whining in the statement. That's really mm-hmm. all the statement is. It's just them whining. A lot of it, a lot of the time, I read it earlier today before the show because you know what the fuck we do, baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know what we do official every documents. Week on here. I just bruise through official documents, just absolutely parse through them. You know what I'm
PDFs.
Saying? And they're really just whining about how like, no, you guys don't get it. You guys don't get it. We look over ourselves. Guys, no. Hear me out. We have ethics rules that we like to follow.
We'd never act corrupt because we're not supposed to.
They said straight up, sometimes we refer to scholarly articles.
Us too. You know what? I'm in scholarly articles, okay?
And what's crazy is they make it a point to point out, like what you were talking about, how like a lot of like rules aren't hard rules, they're mm-hmm. norms. Mm-hmm. They made it a point when pushing back against the idea that they should be held to the same standards as federal judges to say that, well, they're actually really just norms that federal judges are held to, and sometimes they can operate outside of them. Mm-hmm. If you make them rules, then that's worse than them. Okay, make them rules. I don't care.
But federal judges do have greater ethical standards than Supreme Court justices. So like, no, you're literally wrong.
But no, guys, like sometimes they like they're not like hard rules sometimes. Mm-hmm. So you don't get it. Like we read articles.
He's lucky I'm not in charge because I'd crack down.
That's what I'm
I'd crack
saying.
Down on every
That's
political official.
Saying,
Everyone man. Would be subjected to greater ethical I mean, requirements, transparency.
I was reading more about like pushback from like conservative mm-hmm. groups. Pushback specifically from this dude who used to clerk for Justice Thomas.
Oh, right.
So good guy, I'm sure. And he was talking about like,
surely.
Well, guys, if they're doing ethical violations, then surely they'll be impeached.
Yeah, obviously.
then surely they'll be impeached, right? And mm-hmm. but even these ethical violations don't reach the level of impeachment, so I guess nothing can be done.
I feel like we could have like Sam Alito fucking murder somebody in broad daylight and he wouldn't get impeached because
no.
Republicans wouldn't go along with it. And you know what? To be honest, if it was a progressive on the court that did it, I wouldn't either if it was Donald Trump as a president. Like at this point, we are,
I gotta play the game.
We're at a point in our political history where giving up political power to conservatives in any way just means fascism.
Unacceptable.
Yeah.
Like, it's unacceptable. Acceptable. You, like, oh, God.
The system doesn't work right now. And I'm admitting, like, I wouldn't work along with the system either if it meant ceding power to fascists. Like,
so,
I wouldn't.
I'm willing to break the rules a little bit if it means that, I don't know, people's rights are more secure, people can live happier lives.
At least I don't pretend that the rules are real and sacred, right?
Yeah.
Like, I will admit that the rules should be broken or that the rules shouldn't exist in some cases.
I get on here and shit on them every week.
Mm-hmm.
Every week you guys be shitting on some rule.
Yeah.
God.
In some other SCOTUS news, just a couple extras to wrap up the show. The abortion pill is still legal. According to SCOTUS, they didn't put, I think they were considering putting like a stay on the future sale of it until they can hear the case.
Mm-hmm.
That's not happening. So the abortion pill is still available until it gets to SCOTUS. Maybe they'll get rid of it then. Who knows? The only judges that seemed like they were willing to go for it were Alito and Thomas. They were both willing to put a hold on its sale. Dog. Nobody else though.
Thomas is crazy.
Yeah, he's bad.
Thomas is just wild. He really finds himself at the forefront of every bad decision.
What's wrong with him? Like, actually, like, what's your fucking problem? Dog, what are we doing?
What is wrong with you?
I think Joe Biden voted for Clarence Thomas to be in the Supreme Court too,
God.
When he was in the Senate. Honestly, at this point, the only option is just like pack the court. You know what I mean? There's no rule that says you can't do it.
I'm so down. Again, I don't care about the rules. Like,
all you
got
to be like, well, in the Constitution, it only says that the Senate has to provide advice and consent. I'm gonna ignore them and then just put them on the court. And if they don't recognize the legitimacy of the judges that didn't get approved by the Senate, then you could just send the National Guard in and force them to know.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Be a little bit authoritarian, Joe. In other news, a thing that we touched on last episode was the debt ceiling bill.
Yes.
We talked about that last week where Kevin McCarthy proposed this debt ceiling that it would expand or it would push off the debt ceiling crisis for another year,
okay.
$1.5 trillion, while also cutting Medicaid, SNAP, green energy programs, etc. That bill passed in the House. So
okay.
It made it through
word
on party line vote, and apparently it's dead on arrival in the Senate. So we're not getting anywhere.
Nice. So maybe we'll hit the ceiling. My head is already there. I'm being compressed.
Yeah. Maybe democracy and our economy can collapse at the same time. That'd be fun.
And again,
both.
I'll say what I say every time we talk about the debt ceiling. If it can just be extended for a year, if it can be usually extended for 4 years, why don't we just extend it like 400 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh?
Why don't we just get rid of having to do this?
If we just do it anyway, like, please, come on. Maybe I'm not smart enough to understand.
No,
tell me. Like, why can't we just do it?
The debt ceiling is just a rule that says the Treasury Secretary can only take out this much in loans before they have to ask Congress to extend it again. That's it.
Oh,
that's all it is.
Sick.
It's just it's a line that we set every year now, I guess.
Let's raise the roof, people.
Yeah, let's keep
going.
Come on.
Put your hands in the air and let's raise this roof. 400 years.
But yeah, forever.
Then they can deal with it.
We want to build an empire. Let's keep it going. So that bill passed. Perhaps we'll be talking about this again next week if more develops. Probably fucking on Monday it'll develop. It'll be
yeah.
Like, debt ceiling.
Debt ceiling collapses. It fell yeah. through, guys. We're done. We're fucked. It's over.
We hit the debt ceiling sooner than we thought. The country's ending. And then we'll have to come on next Sunday like, hey, guys, I know we're now the Federated States of.
Yeah, you guys can catch us on ham radio.
Yeah. I know we're in like the country of Michigan now. Yeah, but yeah. We're still kicking, guys.
It's still good here, I promise.
I think that ends us for our episode.
I think that wraps this one up. I think it's time to get to our list of very special people.
Uh-huh. We got to get to the list of people that corrupt us.
Yeah.
The list of people that provide ethical implications for our behavior. Our patrons, they give us money for this show.
They ethically endorse our, exactly. They endorse our behavior.
Yeah, yeah, with the pocketbooks. They vote with their dollar. Uh-huh. Vote with your dollar to support Hitto. Like these beautiful people that get early access to our episodes. And we want to give a special thanks to Cricket Scrapbook Layouts, Nikki Nine Lives, Cannon Kraut, Lord T the Radiant, Chris the Postman, Christy Beck, Talia Katz, 40% Spy, Andrew Harris, Mike Chaplinsky, Mattias T, Omar Zuno, Clayton LaFette, Mark Yeager, Sarah McRoberts, Dylan B. Kaz, Caleb Joy, Jim Bobs, Carl D, Rich Toro, Tari, Gavin Meyer, Maldonado, Hunter W., Fergalaki, Max Vesquez, Jacob Rogers, Colton Mulberry, Fixer Punk, Jim Megwers, Jeff Muzzy, Bagel Burrito, Cincy Alex, Bread, Joe Stenstrom, Austin Reed, Adrian Sandoval, Chloe Sam 601, Colleen Cuts, Timothy Espinoza, Gregory Isn't My Name, Bear Yook, Jennifer DeVoe, Big Bird Titty, Eliza Crawfishin,
Beneth Bennington III, Alexa Benanti, Niche, Big Booty Beatdown, Moises T, Sam Maloney, Two Headed Boy, Jeremy Cadwright, Ben Shapiro's Boyfriend, Jonathan Cassis, Luke O'Shea, Daniel Jackson, The Word of Microsoft, Jennifer Sines, Aaron and His Gundam Gundams, Darth Father, Aiden Taylor, Corey Chambers, Sewer Snack, Ellie N, Heidi Osgood, John Glover, Weed Thief 69, Devin Hatchard, Retro Mondo.
Mondo, I think it's Mondo.
Mondo.
I think.
Josiah Sky, Meatball Minion, Emma the Doot Slayer, Claire McMillan, Breezy B, and Jeremy's mom for supporting the show on Patreon.
We just updated the patron list. If you didn't hear your name, hit us up. If we said your name wrong,
again,
hit us up.
Even.
And we'll try to fix it. Phonetic spelling is helpful. We're just two dudes that don't know how to pronounce words, you know what I'm saying?
Come on.
Two dudes with college degrees that don't know how to pronounce
words,
you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
That's just, it's just who we are. Thank you all for listening to the show.
Have a great week.
We'll see you next week.